Welcome to another episode of Mini Fellowship in Movement Disorders, where we take most challenging concepts in movement disorders and simplify them into easy-to-follow explanations. I'm your host, Danish Bahati, a movement disorder neurologist who loves to teach physicians online, especially in the developing countries. So this is in relation to case 19 from Dr. Diptanshu. So the stroke is very classic in the posterior putamen, which is typically associated with dystonia. And I agree with the comments from the Dr. Joseph and Dr. Purnami that these patients can go on to develop dystonia. You know, the general concepts in strokes are that a stroke of basal ganglia, which is typically putamen or GPI, leads to dystonia in patients, younger patients, so typically patients less than 27 years of age. And in older patients, typically older than 40, it leads to Parkinsonism. Both of them are late onset. So for the dystonia, which is most common after stroke, the onset can be a couple of years later in older patients, so in 20s or 30s. However, in a pediatric population, I do agree that the stroke, the dystonia can be onset many years later. I've typically seen 5 to 10 years after. And it may be that the dystonia did start sooner and was just not recognized due to good compensation or was just ignored in a younger patient. But I do see teenagers with hemidystonia who have had strokes in very early age. Now, one of the technically challenging problem in this case is that patient is still within the 2 years of limit of cerebral palsy. So if the patient develops something right now, that it would technically be considered a cerebral palsy. So cerebral palsy is a static insult to the brain, which could be stroke or vascular. And vascular or stroke related cerebral palsies are typically spastic cerebral palsy. So spastic CP and can be seen, and it can be seen as a hemi involvement or hemiplegia, hemiplegic spastic CP, which I worry is also a possibility for this kid, although classically basal ganglia infarcts recover very well and typically don't have a lot of spasticity associated with it, in contrast to the cortical strokes. But the most common form of spastic cerebral palsy, quadriparetic, classically has periventricular strokes and premature or neonatal infarcts. But this looks more like an adult pattern infarct, which is highly unusual. So this looks more like a microvascular infarct, but it may be that the patient has congenitally narrow blood vessel, one of the lenticular branches of the blood vessels of the circle of Willis, and that may have been the reason for the stroke. So interesting. Now, in terms of risk stratification, how likely? I will probably not have patient's family worry too much, and I would just say that's mild to moderately likely, but there's a good chance that it may not happen or may happen only mildly. You know, kids are very pliable and they can adapt, and I don't want the patient's parents to worry unnecessarily or hold off the patient, because the more the patient is challenged with exercise and in athletics in the school, the more likely he is to recover better. So I don't want the parents to become overly protective. To learn more about the Mini Fellowship, visit our website for University of Nebraska Medical Center, Department of Neurological Sciences, where you can be part of the community and ask us questions. You can write to me on mdclinicforyou@gmail.com. It's mdclinic4u@gmail.com. And follow me on YouTube for longer discussions by searching for Danish Bahati, D-A-N-I-S-H, space BHATTI. You can also find me on Twitter @DanishBahati_MD and on LinkedIn.